Steve Quill, thank you. This is Russ Dizdo, the guest host, Survive the Thrive, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is the 27th of July, 2010. Listen, we're glad to be with you. If you were with us in the hour prior, the Shadow of the Darkness hour, well, you know that during the week we're doing the theme, the title of it is The Arrival of the Godmen. Nephilim, past, present, and future. And so we were talking about in the earlier part the idea of the Old Testament after the flood, engagement with Israel. And so it's really up to you, because we can't do it just in an hour, but to do some more study. You can go to Numbers 13. You can see again the Nephilim there. You can take a look at Steve Quell's material, Tom Horn's material, Patrick Huron's material, Lynn Marzulli's material. You can take a look at all these materials and see a lot of great research. We've done some writing on this. We've done some speaking on this. And we've done some engagement with those, believe it or not, that at the very least, clearly involved in the back breeding to gain the powers of the blood of the old Nephilim, with the goal of creating new Nephilim, Nephilim that would be more palatable for human society. Now, we're going to go into that tomorrow night, Wednesday, when we go over the present issue of Nephilim. And Thursday night with the future, I believe the Word of God predicts Nephilim on the earth involved in 1/4 of humanity dying. Believe it or not, listen, we're going to take a look as we've been looking into the past, present, and then the future. You can look into the book of Revelation, chapter 6, look at the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, the pale horse. The event that brings about 1/4 of humanity, probably by war, by famine, by, disease or chemical warfare. You can debate the issue. But also by the wild beasts of the earth, which we will go over in detail Thursday night. Let me just say right now and here that it's predictive biblical prophecy. It involves 1/4 of humanity, 1/4 of the earth, and they are part of what would be billions of human beings dying. Now, if it is a reference, as I think everyone should study, I don't think wild beasts of the earth, that they are giraffes and elephants and lions and tigers and bears going wild. I don't believe they are demonized hamsters running out and killing people. I believe wild Theron, it's a word Theron used of the Antichrist, used of the false prophet. And again, I'm going to say in my view of this, yours may be a little different. So at least check out and think through. I can tell you that the undergrounders, those who are part of the bloodline Luciferic system, those who are creating the soldiers to help bring in the Antichrist, to foster and cause the great chaos to come and eventually get to Armageddon. Well, I can tell you what they believe. I can tell you after discussing with many of them and many sub-personalities and looking at their materials, I can tell you that the undergrounders who have been highly demonized, birthed in bloodline backbreeding with the goal of getting Nephilim powers, that those who've come out of that are clear collectively on the subject, that they believe that they have been given charged blood, empowered blood, genetic. Let me give you one example. I'll give it in detail on Wednesday night at 6. I'm recruited by an officer to become a police chaplain and teach in the police academy at times on satanic crime. Engaged with the officer who was first sent to a Shatter the Darkness Bible study. This officer said the chief sent them there to begin to learn what we are teaching. And then I was recruited. And I was put through some testings and given access to academies and trainings and all that kind of stuff. I was there because of the gospel. I was there because I loved the officers, men and women, for the sake of Christ. And I felt it was a door to reach, as we did, some for Christ. But I was recruited. There was a plan. There was a plot. It became clearer and more evident that their desire was to have me drawn in and right next to them so they could know everything about what I know and what we do. So that when I would be allowed to teach in the police academy there, a lot of people that came in, I didn't know who they were, but they listened. Well, yes, military, ex-military, others, they would listen. But the recruiter, an officer, background in, you know, military, and when I say military, I would have to say PSYOPs, Black Ops. I would have to say that it involved, well, eventually, engaged with this officer, I noticed what I call the, there's a certain grid we have when it deals with those who have sub-personalities inside of them, demonized, programmed. And eventually the sub-personalities began to come out and talk to me. And eventually we had exorcism and demonic engagement in battle. Eventually this officer would have inside persons talk to me and they wouldn't even know. They lost a half hour of time. Matter of fact, one night, because we were doing surveillance, watching their house, because in the past, a Hummer came, and some guys in black uniforms took them away. When they got back, they talked about the Tarragon Guard. They talked about Wright Patterson. They talked about a room with lights. They talked about programming. They talked about soldiers that were like half human, half whatever. Subpersonalities came and could speak up to five other languages and write. They could summon in ancient languages and write sigils, draw the stuff that create the door and doorways in the deepest of darkest of types of ritual. The inside personalities believed they were created to help bring in the Antichrist, but they had to bring the hellish chaos first. They believed they were like supermen. They believed all us singletons out here were nothing. That, matter of fact, when I talked to the priestess on the inside, when they switched personalities, they sneered at me as if I was a dog, and that how dare I, a dog, talk to a high-up priestess engaged with powers of darkness in position for the future. How dare I even discuss? But curiosity, and because the power inside of me was different than the power inside of her, the priestess part. Oh, we got into engagements. I'm in my car. This individual had driven me out to Futon Road, where during satanic revels and demons revels, one, a 14-year-old little girl, taken through a horrific satanic ritual sacrifice and left for dead. And then the other girl, Kathy, was also there at Futon Road, left for dead. After satanic, horrific human sacrificial work, so that the person that did it would conjure the powers and pull them in, the goal, purify their satanic blood. And the person that takes me out there to the crime scene is a police officer who has subpersonalities that have a different agenda than the upfront police officer knows about. So as they're explaining the reasons why the rituals were done and the girls were left there, as they're explaining details about the man that we engaged and know that did it, a young man raised by Nazis in Lisbon, Ohio. Well, when I say Nazis, the black flame. Those who know how to split human core personality, create sub-personalities, bond them, program them, demonize them, and train them. That a new Führer is coming. That a new Reich is coming. And that his blood has to be pure. And the only way to get that is the conjuring of spirits and the taking in the powers. Now, my idea of their pure blood is dirtied, demonized blood. Oh, these chosen ones, they're fast, they're quicker, they're stronger because of the demonization. Because they believe they have pieces or parts of Nephilim blood. That's why they drink charged blood in the rituals. That's why they sell charged blood one to another. Dear Christian out there, my friend, we love you in Christ, but did you know that in America, throughout Europe, there may have been 500 million to 2 billion collectively satanic rituals like this done in the last 50 years that have helped bring out into the public the largest alternative spiritual movements, occultism, demon interaction, supernatural interaction, demon possession than ever in human history. You see, the powers of darkness cannot manifest without the doors. And human blood sacrifices are the number one ways to do it. So I'm out there with the officer. All of a sudden, a sub-personality comes up, looks at me, goes to grab my arm, screams, and draws their arm back. I said, what just happened? This personality said, what is that? All over you, there's like white energy, is what they said. All over you, emanating from your arms, your legs, your whole body emanates a light white energy. Of course, I didn't see anything. Oh, there's no question I could feel the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit. And is this demonized subpersonality who, while up, would have drunk demonized ritual charged blood, saw something spiritual, their third eye, of course, the idea of the third eye opened, and they grabbed my arm where they saw this white energy. And were instantly, like they were burned. It was almost like an exorcism, almost like they screeched. I believe they did. See, I believe that demons can recognize whether you're born again or not. Remember again, in the book of Acts, Jesus we know, and notice the phrase, we know, the demons were speaking, they're collectively. One may speak, but they're speaking for the collective. Inside of a person. And the people outside were not believers. They weren't born again. They didn't have the authority of Christ. But they were trying to use Jesus' name like a little rabbit's foot charm in getting out the demons. There are a lot of New Agers and others that are doing energy work and all this other stuff. It has nothing to do with the authority and the power of God dealing with real demonic presence. So the demon said, Jesus we know, and Paul, the born-again Paul we know, but who are you? So if you don't know Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God is not in you. The demons can see that and know that, and they would operate towards you differently than they would operate towards somebody who knows Jesus and has the indwelling Spirit. God's presence is repulsive to them. It makes them shrink back, scream at times, become vulgar. We've seen so much of it. So much of it, I don't even want to see anymore. But I know we have to. Because it's the living authority of the living Christ coming through the believer that is expressed as we command demons to surface, to manifest. Sometimes they just do. to engage them and command them and kick them out. Well, this highly trained, bloodlined, undergrounder, Luciferian, whatever you want to call him, was all like many of the other cases we had. Better I find myself out by a field, out by close to a lake, and this whole episode occurs where they literally got burnt. Something happened. I engaged them in discussion, and they went down inside, and the police officer main personality resurfaced and wondered what went on. So in the process of finding out about the sacrificed 17-year-old girl 30 minutes drive from my home in Deerfield, Ohio at Futon Road, well, I'm engaging one of the most highly complex cult multiples, chosen ones, personality after personality after personality, some that interact with spirits, some that can talk about astral projection and remoting out, others that can summon spirits, speak languages that I've never heard, others that keep the others shut up, some, like the one personality named Thane, came boldly to my face one night to say, "They have told me to come and shoot you." Now, an officer and this officer, well, they had many, many weapons. You know, down there by the ankle, you know, packed in the back, you know, of their pants and, you know, side shouldered and all kinds of stuff. This is a person that has an AK. They can pull it out. I mean, they know how to take it apart and put it back together. This is an officer here in a city right where I'm close to. You know, the one that recruited me by coming to my Bible study. Do you understand where they're at? Do you understand where they are placed? Do you understand in government, in military, in law enforcement, in the feds, they're there. Outside of a knowing inside the believer's life, outside of a knowing realizing who these folks are, they are literally almost virtually undetectable. They may have 40 to 50 other sub-personalities, highly trained as an assassin, as a priestess, as a hunter, as a recon specialist. All kinds. They're separate sub-personalities trained in remote viewing. All of the inside charged with powers to create a superhuman, to backbreed and try to develop Nephilim-type warriors. Now, I'm going to deal with this in detail tomorrow, Wednesday night at 6 p.m. to 7 o'clock hour. I'm bringing it out here in Survive to Thrive, this network tonight, because in the series, you've got to understand the present situation. If biblical predictive prophecy tells us down the road, the white horse, the coming chaos, red horse, the coming scarcity, economic food chain, all that, black horse, and then the pale. Have you checked it out? The pale horse. God has given prophecy in a dramatic fashion in Revelation 6. The idea that they're sequential, they layer one another, they're connected. One comes after the other and the other and the other. So we're dealing with the seals being opened. So when you see the pale horse, when you read about the pale horse there in Revelation 6, do you see what happens? Verse 8, chapter 6, Revelation. I looked, and there before me was a pale. The picture, the Greek word, refers to a greenish, palish, like dead skin. A dead man's decaying skin. The rider was named Death. Look at the association. And Hades followed close behind him. The writer, death, and Hades, obviously death, then Hades. By the way, the wages of sin, well, it's death, but the gift of God. You ever read Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 6? Listen, if you're a seeker of spiritual depth, spiritual reality, do you want to know God? Do you want to know God person to person and then ultimately see God face to face? Do you want the answers? You better look at the cross. Because all of this end time stuff, all of the chaos, all the economic, all the globalism, it's all about God coming as the Savior of the world and the second coming of Christ, ending the radical evil and bringing the peace as the Prince of Peace. But it's all about the war, the battle spiritually that we're into. And if all you are is a remote viewer, new age, or psychic, if you're searching the Mayan prophecies, if you are handling counterfeit material, please don't expect it to spin like the real stuff. Counterfeit dollars can be in your hand. Counterfeit dollars can look very real to some people, but in actual fact, they are fake and worthless. So is the spirituality behind the New Age, behind remote viewing concepts of the Akashic Records, behind the psyche. Now, I know that's going to make them mad. I was there into the 60s, beginning of the 70s. I know what an OBE is. I experienced it. I know what it is to feel the breath of that side to try to gain non-human enhancements. But I also know what it is to have the presence of God come breaking into my life, and not just power and energy and enhancement, but the person. You know what? The same person who died on the cross and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," is the one that came into my life. If you want demons in your life, if you want demon spirit guides, if you want alien entities coming into your life, well, that's you. You'll live and die with that. We reap what we sow. But ultimately, being on this side of the fence, I can tell you, having God walk into your life and light your spirit up and make you alive instantly and forever to God. I've never in 36 years, I've never needed to search again. And so when we get down to this discussion in the end of days, predicted by God to be the most supernaturally demonstrative, affecting everything, politics, economics, military, the earth, environment, even creation knows that it's decaying. In the midst of the fall, in the midst of the rise of satanic manifest presence, everything's crumbling. That presence is toxic to the environment. And it's bringing broader decay. And that's why with the corresponding manifestation of dark powers, a direct link to earthquakes and volcanoes and tsunamis and hurricanes and collapse. So when you read about the pale horse, I'm going to ask you again to do the study. I'm going to ask you to be the student to do the research. Can I say to believers, I don't care if we live in America. America doesn't determine my spiritual standing. Jesus Christ is Lord. And the parable Jesus tells about the Word of God, where in some lives, there are those who take it, put it into practice, and they can produce 30% more, 60% more, 100 times as much. How much do you want to produce? How strong? How empowered? How much fruit? How spiritually large do you want to become? Anybody that says, as a believer, I'm just a weakling, I'm a little nothing, and you know what? You know, you're still a babe in Christ. And it's clear to me that the power of the clarity of the Word of God has not gotten into you to settle the issue of your relationship and of the powerful. You cannot by any other means grow powerful and strong and develop. Armor of God is all about manifesting the mighty power of God. The authority of Christ, there is nothing higher, to crush all the power of the enemy, the demonic realm. I believe the authority of Christ. Listen, I want you to hear this before the break. And you got to think about it. Maybe you'll write me about it. Maybe you'll disagree. But I'm going to tell you that when Jesus said he knows it all, he didn't miss anything. He didn't exclude anything. I mean, realize Satan himself is more powerful than the Nephilim. You do realize that, don't you? Satan himself is more powerful than the Nephilim. The Nephilim are a part of that whole structure of darkness, as is demonized people and priests and all the rest. And obviously the principalities and powers and cosmic powers, all that. But Jesus said in Luke 10, in the perfect tense of the Greek, I have given to you authority. Notice what it's for. There's only one purpose for the authority of Christ. Don't try to use it on other believers. You'll be in error and disobedience to God, and it doesn't work. The authority of Christ doesn't work on humans. It works on demons, anything demonic, anything that is demonic and of that nature. I've given you authority to trample. You understand the picture here? You are the one that has authority to trample the dark side, snakes, scorpions, figures of the dark side. And then Nike, to overcome with decisive victory, decisive and complete victory, to win over all the power of the enemy. Hey, we'll be back in just 2 minutes. Let's listen to Steve. So we are back right now. Thank you again. This is Russ Dizdar, our guest host on Survive to Thrive, the 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time hour. We're glad to be with you on Tuesday nights. Please remember, if you don't know me and you're new to my voice, go to our website, shatterthedarkness.net. Not only are there hundreds of other MP3s and downloads, materials, and but there's information about a coming conference in Las Vegas, Nevada. This is August the 27th, 28th. And you'll see that there's going to be a major theme on the issue of Nephilim, the end of days, as was the days of Noah. So will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Now, when you look at that prophecy that Jesus gives, he obviously relates the end of days with the end of the world prior to the flood. And he did not say it'll be just like that, except for the fact there'll be none of these Nephilim running around. He didn't say that. As a matter of fact, there's nothing that I can find in Scripture that tells me that they've been eliminated. Actually, what tells me in Scripture is that after the flood, they're here again. There's demonized tribes. There's Nephilim tribes, the bloodlines of which have to have come all the way down to present time. And the clarity that the Scripture I'm going over right now in Revelation 6, the pale horse, if you read it at all, please understand this is future. It has not yet occurred, but I want you to hear what it says. The rider is named Death. Hades is following close behind him. They, referring to those two events, issues, Death and Hades, they were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword. And that's the idea of warfare, different from the red horse, which was insurrection and butchery. By sword, famine, plague, listen, and by the wild beasts of the earth. Now, when you look at that, if it's what I believe it is referring to, then you're dealing with a predictive prophecy telling us that Nephilim will be a part of destroying, killing a fourth of mankind. We're talking by that time maybe billions. It is, again, the simple word used in the Greek, theron, it is the concept of wild beast. If you do any study on it at all, it will take you back to the Old Testament, in which there are wild beasts that are sent or coming after Israel. And the concept, at the very least, demonized on a level of being transmuted, they're coming. On the other hand, Nephilim, second generation. Now, let's go over this real quick. First generation Nephilim, what is that? B'nai Ha-Elohim, grabbing the women, impregnating them, spirit to human female egg. Yes, that the physics of that can happen. It's clear. The genetics is a horrific mutation never meant. Never meant. But none of that is a concern of the dark side. They'll mutate anything. And so when you have first generation crossbreed hybrids, then you have what may seem to be like humans, but taller, more powerful, live longer, with supernatural abilities and awareness that then attract demonic attachment, involvement. They know how to open the gateways. They are saturated. They are literally a Nephilim, first generation one specifically. They would be a door. They would be a door. Because the nature of the demon is the same as the nature of a Nephilim. They fit together. So when we look at the Old Testament, the tribes that developed, the leaders, Anak and others that, you know, have entire tribes. So a Nephilim then goes out and grabs another woman, and she has a child. And it's Nephilim, but a second generation. If you understand the concept of, breeding down. This is something Himmler was involved with in the breeding of chickens, trying to produce only white feathered chickens. He clearly understood the back breeding issue, the breeding out of the chickens with dark, feathers and so forth, and breeding in stronger, bigger, whiter chickens. Genetic, it's all for something bigger, stronger. And that concept's carried over in the back breeding too, in getting to the Nephilim. Blood, at least kind of trying to resurrect it through a process. Bring about Nephilim through a process. That would be the idea of not just second generation. Say the second generation Nephilim, and they get older and they go out, but they're not as big and as strong in comparison to the first generation Nephilim. But in comparison to humanity, of course, they are very powerful and very demonized and demon inclined and very desirous of worship and to be considered gods and goddesses, like again among the Mayans. I am now believing more than ever that Quetzalcoatl was Nephilim. Whether first generation, I don't know. But as we go down that line, second generation, third generation, fourth generation, and say that a 50% strength or bloodline Nephilim then takes another human woman. And so there can be this weakening. And you know what's interesting? Crowley understood this. All of the satanic ritually abused by the hundreds of thousands and those who've created them, they understand. That's why they look for this empowered blood. That's why they want it. That's why in ritual sacrifice, when through the torture, the ritual, the summoning, and the bloodletting, the demons charging up that blood, the life is in the blood, they're attaching to it, so that to capture the demonized blood in a bottle. See, a demon can be attaching to an object, a devoted thing in the Old Testament. Undergrounders believe they can release demons to attach to websites. Objects that they give as demonized objects to pastors and church members to bring harm, to bring sickness and confusion and plunder. So also is the blood that is charged. And when they, you know, drink it, then the individual's drinking it. Well, they're drinking in the charged blood that's supposedly then going to charge. Now, listen, that's not as strong as direct B'nai Elohim to human female egg, but it's very powerful. We've dealt with a lot of this, and again, in details, tomorrow night at 6 p.m., we'll talk about those current issues. Tonight, we're in this, as a guest host for Survive the Thrive, we're dealing with individuals out there like you that have heard the concepts, you know the stuff, you've heard Steve Quayle go over this, you've heard Tom Horn, you've heard many others. I'm saying because biblical revelation speaks of it in the past clearly, through the development and spiritual warfare of the nation of Israel, as it was the chosen showcase to eventually bring the bloodlined human side of God in human flesh, then you got to understand that a lot of the battle was because as God brings prediction, as God says that he's going to bring the Messiah, as God says in Isaiah, that a virgin would be a child, that there'd be a prince of peace, that there'd be mighty God, everlasting counselor, there'd be Emmanuel. About 300 prophecies in the Old Testament speak about the coming of God in human flesh. And you know who knew those prophecies? Without question, the dark side. And there's without question now looking back into the Old Testament, understanding the not just the origin and the nature of radical evil, but the mode of operation. They know where God is operative, and they want to bring the war. They know in your life whether you're serving Christ and doing things, and if you are strong, yeah, they want to bring the war. They don't want you to be strong. It's as simple as that. The early disciples, before Pentecost even, with Jesus in the room. You hear me now? He's in the room. And Jesus says, none of them, it went over their heads. They had no ability to detect non-human entities in the room. Did you know that Satan himself came into the room? Go back and look at the Last Supper, and the disciples, not one of them had a clue. And Jesus says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you, Greek word, plural, all of you as wheat. but I prayed for thee that your faith would not fail. Talked about a betrayer. They wanted to know the one that would dip. That was Judas. If you read the Gospel of John, you're going to see in that same room where none of the disciples could detect, feel, or know, or discern that non-human entities had entered the room. Well, you know what it says? Before Judas went out to betray Christ, it says Satan, look up the word, entered. He walked right into Judas's construct as a human being. And all of biblical scripture, not one shred of evidence do we find him going to a trance, being dazed, freaked out, like the movie show. Because the door was legally opened and wide open to the dark side. Remember this verse, never forget it, if you want to know what's happening in the world. The prince, Greek word ruler, the prince of the power, literal Greek word, the domain, the place of authority, the locality of authority, the prince of the power of the air, eros, the dense atmosphere immediately around the earth, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now at work, supernaturally operative, in those who are disobedient, in those who do not know Jesus, in those whose spirits are dead to God, in those who have the indwelling sin nature operative and primary. Romans 8, study it out. Judas, with his inclination towards greed and the sin door wide open, well, Satan had rights. Satan entered him. The influence was clear. He went out and betrayed. It was literally Satan coming in possession-wise, but almost as if it was unfelt. Involuntary feeling, involuntary thought, massive influence enough to get him to get up, go out, 30 pieces of silver, fulfillment of prophecy. He betrays the locality of Christ, who then is taken to the cross. Can I tell you something, dear believer in Christ? Satan was all over the issue of killing Christ, God in human flesh, the first time. Revelation 12, the dragon stood there waiting for the Christ child to be born for one reason: to destroy, to devour. Just as Jesus being sent into the world, 1 John 3:8, to destroy the devil's work, and he did, and does. Do you understand the picture here? God's coming to destroy radical evil, but radical evil is, there's an audacity. In the heavenlies it was attempted, and there at the birth of Christ it was attempted. And you and I living in a world that is headed towards Armageddon. Armageddon is all about the final, physically manifested, but thoroughly, supernaturally, spiritually charged battle. The third and final attempt to kill God. And before that day ever comes, and so many people think, well, that's got to be 100 years from now. No, it could be about 7 or 8 or 9. I don't know how long it's going to be. But I will tell you this, that if we're very close to the great chaos red horse, then not only is the chaos coming, some believe in 6 months, some say 5, 6, 7 years, I don't know. But following it is the black horse. Following that is the pale horse. All of the biblical prophetic content that God says of events that will happen, that Satan will do, or that God is going to do, God is 100% accurate. Biblical prophecy is infallible, and the only accurate tool. And for believers, God gave it as massive preemptive intel so that we would see. See, the Word of God, when you get it into your life, it literally lights up the eyes of your heart, Ephesians 1. Brightens, gives you the content to see with the knowledge of God. New Agers and others, you're seeing with the knowledge of the dark side masqueraded as light. You only see what they can show you. They can't show you infinite stuff. Only God can do that. And if God is not in your life, you're not seeing what God desires you to see and wants you to see and can enable you to see if you come to Christ. Believers, Ephesians chapter 1, the prayer that the eyes of the heart, the perceiving, discerning, sensing ability that you have in you would be brightened, enlightened by the Spirit of God, not a demon spirit, but the Spirit of God, so that you can perceive, understand, know on the deepest level the things of God. Look at the context. I'm just saying the more of the Word of God and prophetic revelation of the Word of God you get into you, the more you're going to see the timetable. God is showing us the timetable. It's very clear Jesus taught this principle in Matthew 24. So if you understand the timetable, if we're very close to the chaos, then we have to realize the Antichrist has been born, he's out there. The false prophet is born, he's been out there. The regime of the Antichrist is in place, multinational, that they're bursting the seams. All God has to do is take the lid off. It's kind of like that golf spill where the lid is on right now, but if you took the lid off, it would come gushing out. When God removes the restrainer, you can be sure that all hell will come gushing out, including the apocalypse of Anthroposonamos, the man of lawlessness. And everything that Daniel talked about, everything that Jesus talks about, everything that Thessalonians 2 talks about, everything that Revelation is talking about, including now eventually, not when it first begins, but towards the middle, towards past the middle, the hathalipsis amygdala, the great the tribulation. Guess what happens? Authority given over the concepts of death and Hades to kill a fourth of the earth. Sword, famine, pestilence, and the Theron. You get this? The wild Theron. The wild beasts. Now, I've got to ask you tonight, wild beasts of the earth, is that a bunch of hamsters demonized gone crazy? Can you imagine giraffes attacking entire cities? Maybe there's like 35 giraffes all demonized now, going crazy, attacking, New York City. All the animals in the zoo. Monkeys going after people. Well, they could be pretty scary, Buffalo running down the street, running over tens of thousands of people. I'm going to tell you, and like to hear from you on this issue, I don't believe it's animals gone wild. Theron, I believe it's hybrid. I believe in conjunction with the ultimate rise of Antichrist himself, visible, that the Theron, definition really even out of Strong's, a simple place of looking at a Greek, but venomous. The idea that these things are venomous. Do Nephilim bite? You better believe they do. Do they eat people? You better believe they do. Do they kill? Are they faster than a human? Could you imagine outrunning a bear? No, you're not going to do it. Could you outrun a lion? No, you're not going to do it. What about Nephilim? You going to outrun them? It may be, and I know the question comes up, who do they attack? Well, it just simply says the pale horse brings about what? A fourth of the earth are killed. How do a billion and a half, maybe by that time 2 billion, billion. What kills half of the people in a city, or a fourth of the people in a city? Can you imagine a fourth of all the people in New York dead? Oh, sword, okay, soldiers fighting, gunfire, so forth. Pestilence, famine, I understand that. But wild beasts of the earth. I need to take time because you know what? I got thousands and thousands and thousands of books all around me. I love going to school, and I've been to five of them. I'm always taking and reading. I love studying. It's in me. I'm a researcher. I don't know, out of the hundreds of books on end time issues, 1,000 books on theology, I don't know of anybody saying anything about the wild beast of the earth. I've heard suggested in the old material that, again, because it doesn't take in the collective knowledge, biblical knowledge, and there was a vast, vast lacking in theologians in the 50s and 60s that were writing the books that were used to train. Listen, I've got book. There's no section, big section on spiritual warfare. It all began as a spiritual battle. Jesus said, I'll build a church and the gates of Hades will not prevail. That's the church being built in the context of a battle. God says your warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers. Job didn't occur without spiritual, wicked, horrific evil behind it. So when you come to the book of Revelation, you read, and the wild beasts of the earth, maybe somebody so into Boltman's theology of demythologizing scripture, or maybe they got some deistic tendencies, would think, oh, that's got to be demonized hamsters chasing people down, biting them until they die. It's got to be like Willard, you know, the rats chasing people down and eating them. Maybe it's a bunch of red ants, alligators. I don't think so. I really don't think so at all. I think in this context now, in the context of the totality, scripture interpreting scripture, concept of Theron when it refers to the Antichrist and the false prophet, at the very least, you're talking about maybe the super soul, the highly programmed, totally transmuted, demonized. But when Theron is used, it's not used in Revelation of human beings per se. So, I'm telling you, check it out, think through it. I believe we're dealing with prediction that a fourth of humanity, that millions upon millions will be killed by, at the very least, third, fourth, second generation type, or backbred or direct Nephilim. You check it out. You think it through. When is that really going to happen? Will God let that happen? Listen, it's not about God letting it like he says, I give permission for it. No. When the doors, the legal laws of engagement have been opened, that's the only reason Satan got a foothold in this world and became the god of this age. That's the only reason that he entered Judas. You can't become demon-possessed without giving doorways opened to deep legalities of the dark side. The abyss, there's got to be legal, the key. There has to be legalities to open that place, which most likely are Nephilim, the spirits coming out and attacking the world. So the world that you live in right now, the one that I was in earlier today, out cutting grass, looking at a rabbit run from my tractor, the beauty that I seen out there, the beautiful day that it was, still has within it fallenness, a war going on. That's why we needed redemption. That's why we need heaven. That's why there's a need for a new earth and a new heaven. And it's all found coming from the infinite God of creation, the Redeemer, If you know him, you clearly know what I'm talking about. If the Spirit of God is in you, then you will probably bear witness. Now, I might differ on some aspects of Nephilim stuff than other writers and whatever else. I don't know for sure. It's not my central issue. Christ is. Listen, we are out of time again. We're at the end of the hour, and this is Russ Disney, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. This is Survive to Thrive, the radio network, and I'm just a guest host. Thank you, and God bless you tonight.